All right, guys, welcome back. Going into the third and final hour here of week 48. Adam, what's going on?
So we come back from the commercial break. We fade in on a dark kind of snowy plain. There's like snow blowing around. We can see maybe the shadow of buildings or trees in the background. Maybe there's some, actually we hear the like ringing of like a bell, like a cowbell, like the kind of iron ring. And we see a shepherd like herding some animals across the plain, and the subtitles come in and they say Sigrid now. And the shepherd is startled by something and turns and looks past the camera up into the sky, and then we hear this like ripping sound of plasma weaponry being fired. There's an explosion, and then we see more of those drop pods, those weird like biological drop pods that you saw and they're like landing in this village, and they burst open, and there are these kind of like half dead looking like warriors. Some of them have like weapons, like rifles. Some of them are carrying axes. They all appear to be Sigridan warriors, but you know, with like parts of their face torn away. But they also look like those like bio nanite things that we saw on the space station. So the pods are landing in this village. There's an alarm bell that goes off. The Sigridans like start this fight, and we get kind of this pitched battle between the like Vikings and these sort of Draugr nanite things. And so as this fight is going on, we see a longhouse, a Viking longhouse, and one of the Viking cyber zombie things like breaks the door down, and inside, we see him grab a familiar looking old man and like yank him forward, and the zombie thing speaks with the voice of the war mind and says, where is the eye? And the old man spits and says, I've given it away, you'll never find it. And he says, the war mind says, it doesn't matter now. We'll have it soon enough. And he lifts the old man up, and the old man starts to like choke because he's got him by the throat. And the old man says, kill me if you want to. You'll never find it. And the war mind says, you don't need to tell me where it is. I'll take it from your mind. And his hand starts to become kind of like liquid, and nanites start to pour into the old man's mouth and eyes. And the old man like screams, and it gets that like the kind of like bit crusher like filter on it as he screams.
Like the Matrix.
Yeah, like the Matrix, exactly. And it pans back, and we see on a hillside just a lone tree standing up, and we see a body like hanging from the tree. And we get closer and closer, and we can see that it's like a woman's body. She's like not wearing anything. She's hanging in the like the cold wind. And as we get close enough, like through the wind to see, we vaguely see like Piani's face, but one eye is missing, and there's like just blood like dripping down her face, and then it fades out. And we fade in on the sound of like choir singing. So like a little echoey, like in a room, like in a gym or a basement or something. And there's this kind of like hymnal like singing. And we see a room fairly plain. There's a couple of like card tables unfolded in the room, some chairs. There's a little pulpit that's been put up. Wearing a gray cardigan, we see Brother Butler, and he's having a conversation over a cup of like a styrofoam cup with coffee in it, with a woman that's there. There's about like a half dozen people, mostly students, kind of gathered in the room, and then the music fades out, and we can kind of hear their conversation. Huge bonus points to whoever named these things the Bjorg. It's beautiful.
That's amazing.
It's pretty good.
God, they're so
that's
good.
That's canon now. That's what they're called. They're called the Bjorg. Good job, Toad Bomb.
That's amazing.
Holy fuck.
So who do we, I guess, who gets to this meeting first? Is it Kia or is it Eric and Alfarius?
Well, I can wait. The mass.
Isn't she vaguely Irish?
this meeting? Which of the
we get there first? Okay.
Yeah.
Eric's like autistic, and I'm a cyborg. We get there first.
I doubt that.
I think we get there 15 minutes ahead of time.
Yes.
And then, however, Kia decides how early she gets there, that falls around that time frame.
Perfect. All right. Well, then I come after.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So the two of you arrive. Have you dressed up like differently? How do we? What do you look like? Yeah, it's quite early.
7:45 is very early.
I'm wearing like just my all black kind of combat slip skin clothing, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I think Eric's like wearing like khakis and a Hawaiian shirt and then like a bathrobe.
Okay.
Jeffrey Lebowski. I got it.
Oh, I see. You're dressed up as Lebowski and one of the nihilists. Nice. Yeah, we're cyborgs, Lebowski. We believe in nothing. So the two of you come in, and Abe sees you and politely excuses himself. He's like, "Excuse me, I go see this." And he comes over to you, and he has coffee in one hand, he's like, "It's so good to see you, gentlemen. Thank you so much for coming. You're a little early, so we're still getting set up." And he looks, and you can see over his shoulder like one of the students unfolding chairs.
Yeah.
And they're putting them out in a circle. There's like an acoustic guitar leaned up against the pulpit. And he says, he says to you, Eric, he's like, I had a look at that survey of yours. It's a little over my head, but it seems really interesting. I've always been so curious about metapsionics. What a fascinating discipline.
Oh, I agree. It's my primary area of study.
Mm. Yeah, and he says, you know, it's a bit like what I do. You know, I think anyone, and I hope they do, anyone can read the word of God, but to really look at it from a different perspective and think, well, what does it all mean? You know, thinking about the words and why they're chosen, well, that seems to me a bit like imagining why psychic powers exist, what metadimensional extroversion syndrome is all about. It's fascinating stuff.
Yes. Yeah, it's very much like that. Can I help set up the chairs?
Yes, of course, please. Brian, and he gestures, and when he says Brian, like Brian looks up, he's like, Brian, would you help? Well, show Eric what he can do to help us out. And Brian like grumbles something to himself and like grudgingly accepts your help.
Yeah, nice. Okay, I just go like, you know, start setting up chairs.
So the Abe looks at you, Alfarious, and like looks you up and down, and he's like, that's a interesting getup for so early in the morning. You a jogger?
I believe in rigorous exercise. Speaking of which, it really touched me that you had said you were looking out for these young adults as they deal with and grieve with the occurrences of yesterday. I noticed an amazing cross-reference in my research, I mean experiences, as a college student of normal age and practices. And I found that one of the recommendations to overcome grief is to perform physical sex with another person. And I know this to be true amongst college students as well. I thought the crossroads of such an occurrence to be more than miraculous, to use the parlance of our time.
And he's like, well, you know, there are some in the clergy who, you know, they have a problem with sex. They don't feel comfortable with it. It's an old way of thinking, but me, I always thought, you know, God gave us these bodies and well, darned if we aren't supposed to use them. Now, responsibly, mind you, and well within the tenets of the church, but you know, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of my body, and I hope you aren't either. And he like kind of like pokes you in the chest.
I think your frame of thinking is accelerated and beautiful. I appreciate your perspective.
Yeah, he smiles and kind of pats you on the shoulder. He's like, well, that's the kind of open mind we like here. Well, you know, you said helping people, and that really, that's what it's about for me. That's what it's about for me. I'm, and he like looks over and you can see Brian like unfolding a chair and he like gets it stuck. And he's just like, fucking chair. And he like throws it on the ground. And he's like, now, Brian over there is a prime example. See, Mr. Jacobs has a bit of an anger problem. And you can see him like struggling. The chair's like caught on his foot now. And he's like, and just the other day he had a traumatic experience, but he came to me and he said, Abe, I like it when they call me Abe, it keeps things personal. He says, Abe, I need your help. I need the word of God. And I said, you know what, Brian, I'm glad you came. And now look at him. And you can see Brian's like got the chair like wedged up around his knee now. And like, Eric, are you probably like,
probably Eric in the background is like pushing with just a little bit of telekinetic.
And he's like, you know, I like to think that we're all a work in progress.
You know? It's Jacobs that's there?
Yeah. And I think now you realize like, oh, yep, I recognize this guy.
Yeah, I think I like as he's referencing him, I kind of see him and like Alfair's like, ah yes. Isn't he a local municipal worker?
And he nods and he says, Yes, he worked campus security. He's on he's on leave now. Personal trauma and everything.
Do you mind introducing us? I have a strange connection with him that I would like to just put out in the open right now, immediately.
And he puts his hands up. He says, Well, of course, I would love to. Putting people together is part of my job. And he takes you over with a very fatherly like hand on your back.
I think like as you walk up, Eric is kind of like, have you ever before experienced similar symptoms to the ones that you experienced recently?
Yeah, and he's like, God damn it, fucking chair stuck in my boot. And he's like trying to twist the chair off. And now he's like,
put you down as a maybe.
He's like hopping. He's like, help me with this thing. And then he looks up as Alfarius and Abe like come over. And and Brother Butler is like,
he sees me coming.
Yeah. And he looks over.
Before he says anything, well, yeah. I'm going to attempt to anyways. I'm going to reach, like, pretty aggressively reach out my hand. Like I'm not even in hand reach proximity. I'm, like, kind of walking and, like, reach out my hand and, like, lean into it. Like, Jacobs, it is so good to meet you for the first time.
And he like...
Does he take my hand?
He doesn't look up at you at first. He's like, yeah, buddy. And he, like, puts his hand out and then, like, he feels your hand. And he's like, weird, cyborg.
Yeah.
And like, I think he looks, and you could just see the blood just drain from his face.
You could hear the servos tightening in my hand as I like wrench. Like it's there's hairline fractures occurring probably.
Yeah, there's like a faint like kind of like whining sound as he's just like, and he like crushes his hand a little.
And I shake his hand. I'm like, my name is Pedro Cantor Felipez. It's the first time I've ever met you, which is so strange because so many things can happen on a college campus. You would have thought we would have met before, and like burrows his eyes into him.
And in the back behind Alfarius, I'm like, now you said you've never experienced any psychic phenomenon before, right?
And he just nods and he's like, I have never met either of you before in my life. As you're like crushing his hand. Am I?
No.
Yeah, no, he's firm grip. And like tries to take his hand back, and he's got the chair like untangled from his leg, and he looks at Butler, and Butler is just smiling. He's just like, I'm just so glad. I think you two are gonna fit in great. Brian, why don't you take these two over to the coffee machine and get yourselves a drink? I think we're just about ready to get started. I gotta make a phone call, and he takes his phone out of his pocket and leaves you alone. And Jacobs is just like, oh god, like trembling.
And I'm just like, I release his hand. I'm like, is that chair giving you trouble? Here, let me loosen it a little. And I like shank the sword out of my arm. And I just get like completely nothing to do with the sword to help the chair. But I'm just like, I like look at it real close. And I'm like, no, I don't think this will be the right tool for that job.
Yeah.
I sheath it back in.
Yeah. So he looks over at Butler, and then the two of you, he's like, So you guys, coffee machine?
Oh, no thanks. Coffee makes me a little jumpy.
he points out, he's like, I'm going to get, is it okay? Can I have a...
You can have.
Us if we can have coffee.
Of course, Jacobs. You can have one more cup of coffee, and if things go well, you could have coffee for the rest of your life. Or you can have one cup of coffee, and then maybe you won't have any more cups of coffee.
He's like nodding frantically. And he's like, "Yes, I'm. Thank you. I'm sorry. Try not to get too jumpy."
Chime, and he like just like walking backwards slowly with his hands up, like I'm just.
And as he walks away, I like look at him and go like, "It was so nice to meet you again. My name is Pedro Cantor Felipez."
And he's like, "Yes, Pedro. Yes, I'm yes." And someone walks over to him. He's standing there with his back to the coffee machine with his hands up, just staring at you. And a girl walks over and she's like, "Hey, Brian." He's like, and like pushes her away. So a crowd has started to file in. I'd say there's about like a half dozen more people since you got here. So there's like maybe like 20 people here now. People are starting to sit down in the circle, and brother Butler's sitting in his chair, like adjusting his little acoustic guitar. And I think that it's like the body of an acoustic guitar, but the strings are like a hologram. So he's like adjusting them. They're getting like bigger and smaller. And he's got like a little like laser pick in his hand. And he's like adjusting it. And I think he's like, "Well, all right, everybody, let's get started. Please have a seat." And everybody sits down and he introduces himself. He's like, "For those of you who don't know me, I'm Brother Butler. You can call me Abe if you like." And he starts just going through his like, "You know, we call this meeting today in the presence of God to bring us together as people first. And, you know, whether you're faithful or you're just finding your way to the light, well, you're welcome here today." And he looks at the two of you like, you know, new folk. And he's like, "I like to start these things off with a song. And, well, you know, I've really come to like this one, and I've been working on a cover. So I hope you'll join me. I think everybody knows the words." And he starts to like strum the laser guitar, and he's a decent guitarist. And he does basically like an acoustic guitar cover of like a Nika Starlight song that's become really popular recently, about finding your way out of darkness, about being in a dark place controlled by things that are, you know, above you and escaping that. And so, yeah, no, it's not Wonderwall.
It's not Wonderwall.
But it's similar. So yeah, he starts to sing. And while he's singing, I think that you hear, maybe Alfarious, you hear the door in the hallway like creak open and close, and you hear footsteps, someone who's like a little late to the meeting. And the door opens, and this is when Kyo and you walk in. So how
she
are
looks
you?
Looks like see? Piani, right?
She looks exactly like Piani, but her hair is blonde and she's dressed differently. So yeah, how is Kyo dressed? What do you have with you?
I mean, what do they see? I guess I would be in standard planet clothing, which we established last episode was, you know, a little weird and odd and colorful and.
Yep.
All sorts. But considering that I'm also coming to Mass,
mm-hmm.
I would say that I'm wearing, you know, nice versions of this clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So I see her walk in.
Yeah, you see Piani walk into the room. Eric, you see too.
Yeah, I think Eric immediately
you don't notice right away. Alfarious does.
Okay, sure. I think the second I see her, and I'm sitting next to Eric, I would assume. I just like, without breaking contact, just like start tapping him.
Okay.
Yes, Alfarious?
Grab his face.
Non Pedro?
You don't look where I'm looking when you say that?
I think I'm looking at you and you're like looking somewhere else. I'm like, what? What?
And I do look back at him and I grab his chin and I just like point his head in the direction of.
Yeah, I just stand up and I like walk to Piani.
I follow him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I keep my voice down, but I say, "Piani, we've been looking for you everywhere."
So you get up and you start walking over.
Yeah.
Kyo, you see them too. So you're on your end. You recognize these two, but you've never seen them in real life. Like you've had nightmares. Well, I guess here's a question. I'll ask Steven and Jeff this. What's like the worst thing that your characters have done? Like what would be the like horrible thing that you'd have nightmares about? for your character for these.
Oh, there were some bad times there for Alpharius when he was working security for a little bit more dirty groups, I would say.
Hmm. I mean, just since you've joined the Swan Song crew, what's
notorious about us?
Yeah, what's the worst side of you?
Yeah.
When the war mind comes to, I can barely speak, I start stuttering, and I just go on a murder rampage.
Right, yeah, yeah. So you see, yeah, you definitely, like, you see the cyborg, first of all, you see this, like, this machine man, and you know instinctively, like, if he were to kill you, you would know where the weapon would come from. You know where the, like, sword that he's used to murder people is in his arm. You've seen him covered in blood with his, like, skull face on and, you know, woken up in terrible, yeah, sweats. You're face-to-face with the Tungus itself.
I think for Eric,
you're already in hell.
The reputation that he has, or like the thing that people know about him, is like kind of a hair trigger, doesn't really get people, like, uses his massive psychic capabilities to push people around he disagrees with, and then also maybe dubiously connected to some terrible psychic phenomenon that laid waste to
his life. Yeah, yeah. If Alpharius is like the knight of hell, you're the dark sorcerer, yeah, right? Like,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's totally like, so you just have this like sudden chill, this like fear pass over you, and then they both stand up. Like they look at you and they both get up. Yeah.
So imagine from my perspective, there's this like freeze. And, you know, and what happens in a matter of seconds is literally like the most visceral versions of these flashbacks, like coming back and just like, you know, haunting me over the course of these few seconds. And I think upon that freeze, there's like a step backwards and then one more step backwards that happens sort of more, you know, more aggressively, and that causes me to sort of like stumble backwards and maybe like sort of hit a pew and you know, make a lot of noise and just in doing so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And so, I think even to that point, like once on the ground, sort of like crawling backwards, like you can imagine the most fearsome monster is coming at me in real life and it has the most gnarly teeth and it wants to.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm guessing at probably the same time, Eric.
The terror response is real.
A very confused look on her face, like confused and concerned. Like,
you know, maybe Alpharius, but Eric doesn't really register emotions from people too well. I think Eric just kind of like runs to Piani, floor Piani, and just like scoops her up and hugs her.
Well, I mean, so this is the question: do you run, Kia? Like. They're coming towards you. Do you get up and turn around and run off?
Like I literally, there's so much sort of like fear, confusion at the same time that it's almost sort of paralysis. So as much as I want to run, the most I can do is like scoot backwards until Eric reaches me. So, you know, that's the state that she is in.
Alpharius is profoundly like, he has like this like frown and concern look, and then he kind of like looks behind him to see if, you know, there's something coming up on her or something like that. But he's still walking. He like walks towards him, stops, and is like looking around, like looking for threat.
And if Eric actually did sort of try to pick me up and hug me, I think that the face on Kia is literally like, you could just imagine, I'm just going to shut my eyes and hope this goes away. Like, you know, I sort of a look of disgust and definitely no response.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So yeah, Eric, you like cross the room. Maybe y'all have noticed, maybe not, but like Butler has stopped playing and has like stood up and everyone's like kind of like, what's going on? And like whispering to each other. Jacob's Brian is just sitting there like shaking with his like coffee cup in his hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, I mean, Eric, you know, I think like the scene breaker of this event is Eric just like scooping up Piani and like hugging her and going, Piani, in like this big cavernous, you know.
I like moving into security, but I'm still very perplexed. Like, I don't understand why that reaction.
And then like I like put her down like on her feet, and then I like, you know, like go and I'm like, you're okay. You dyed your hair.
I think like suddenly I'm just like trying to find an escape route. I'm like looking, who is here that I know? You know, how far away is the door from me behind me? And I think I actually just start scooting down one of the aisles of the pews. Like, you know, maybe I see someone I know in the front and I'm just kind of like, I need to get away.
Like you, Brother Butler's looking right at you and you can communicate with him like this is a bad time or like something's wrong. So if you're giving off like kind of panic face,
there's definitely a panic face.
Yeah, Butler is definitely like walking over. He said to everybody else, like, hold on, everybody. And he's gotten up and he's walking over. And he's like, hey, everybody. Is everything going okay over here? Like, he's like walking up.
I think I'm still at this point quiet, but you see me sort of move towards Brother Butler.
Like, sure. And he like definitely his body language is like kind of like puts himself between you and the newcomers. And he's like, hey, are you Kia? Are you all right? Everything okay?
As this is happening, I like kind of look at still very confused. I'm like, this is our long, well, not that long, but our recently missing friend Piani. But her readings, Eric, she doesn't recognize us. She's terrified. I don't understand what is happening.
Yeah, but at this point,
you have her at arm's length. Yeah.
Yeah. When he says, Kia, is everything all right? I'm like, there must be some kind of mistake. I'm very sorry about that, ma'am.
Yeah, and Butler says, like, as much to signal to you, Kia, to, like, let him know if you want to get rid of them, but he's like, it's all right, but, you know, things have gotten tense. There's some stuff going on here. Are you, Kia, okay? And he turns and he like looks you in the eye, like, do you want me to like, you know, step up, or do you want to talk? Like, yeah. And I think at this point, like, Alpharius, you and Eric both noticed that like Piani, Kia's like eyes are both normal, like the eyes missing.
I'm starting to just do all of that. I'm looking over her whole body and realizing she is someone else.
Yeah.
But also pretty close to the same, right?
Well, you said that she looks identical to Piani except for blonde hair and has both eyes.
It would be like, yes, it would be like if Piani was disguised as somebody else.
Yeah.
Just dyed like her hair. And
Piani dyed her hair.
Yeah.
And wore different clothes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you know, I think by this point, like, Eric kind of stepped back and he's just kind of very confused by it. But, you know, it's probably not the first time Eric has recognized someone as a friend who was a complete stranger. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Eric's just kind of like, oh, I did that thing again.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I think I kind of do. I'm like, oh, sorry. You look like a friend of mine. I do that sometimes.
I think maybe under the safety net of Brother Butler, I finally say, who are you?
I'm Eric. It's nice to meet you.
He's Eric. I am Alpharius. And you are very close to a friend of ours named Piani. Based off of your reaction to us, you've either seen us before or know us as well. Why?
I think I look kind of at Brother Butler.
Mm-hmm. And have you told him about your nightmares before? Like, I think that the two of you, like, there's some, like, at least for you, there's some feeling they're tied to, like, the signal. And, like, they're not by accident. Like, they're being given to you by God.
Right. But there's only certain things that I've shared.
Yeah.
And, like, because there's some, like, uncertainty in terms of how I'm interpreting these and what they might mean. So, you know, I think I say we can't talk here. This isn't the appropriate place to do it. I can't answer your question right now.
I can respect that. Hopefully you can also understand our concern that we just encountered someone that is a 97.6 repeating percentile duplication of our friend who is missing. May we contact you? I say later, but really what I mean is as soon as you are comfortable.
No, I will contact you.
Okay. I hand her...
Leave me away.
I give her my comm number or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want you to leave. I mean no disrespect, but you cannot be here.
That's fully understandable. Brother Butler, again, I appreciate your hospitality, and I do think we should perhaps explore the avenues of having these young people perform copious amounts of sex with each other to get over the crisis that they have been encountered.
I think surveys are the right way to recover.
So you will leave, and I'm sorry for the disturbance. You may continue with your song.
He says, it's all right. It's all right, gentlemen. It's God works in mysterious ways. And well, what might not make sense now might make sense tomorrow. So let's put our paths in separate directions for now. And well, I'm hoping that the three of you can work this out. I'll see to my flock.
And I kind of just like, you know, stop, brother. And I say, I will see you, or I will contact you soon. And Alfarious, you said.
Yes.
There's still a chance for you. And then I kind of just like turn around and sure. You know, go back to
he's
mass.
Staring okay. Blankly after you. And turns to Eric and says, like, I don't understand. Does she mean that she wants to have sex with me? I do. Not understand.
I'm gone at that point. I definitely
know. You're gone. He doesn't say that to you. It's just to Eric.
I just clap a hand on Alfarious' shoulder. I say, well, she got your number. And, like, you know, we walk out.
I mean, the moment they're out, mm-hmm. He is actually like, Brother Butler, I need to speak with you immediately.
Yeah. And he gives his guitar to Brian, and he's like, Brian, why don't you lead everybody in a singing of the hymns? And Brian is just like, okay. And he like sits down and like tunes the guitar a little bit and then starts singing. And then you and Butler go into like another room, you go into like another classroom, and he immediately is like, what the fuck is going on?
Brother Butler, listen to me very closely. I believe that those men might be connected to the images that were sent to me by Tito. So I need you to do the following. It's now your responsibility to drop off said cargo that needs to be dropped off to Tito. I'm supposed to meet him at 9. That's in approximately 35 minutes from this point. It will need to be you who drops it off. For me.
So you're like giving the case while you're talking?
Yes, yes. Okay. And then, you know, immediately for me, you can tell Tito that I'm following up on the lead, but you just must believe and trust me. I need to pursue this.
So he's like, so you think those two are the hitmen that the syndicate sent, but they're not in the photos.
I did not say that, but let's just say there are things that lead me to believe I must get some answers from them.
And he scowls and he's like, if anything happens to you, it's going to be on my head and I don't need that shit from Marsh.
If they really wanted to kill me or you or anyone here, they would have done it the moment they walked in.
Well, I can't say that I understand any of this, but all right, I'll leave it with you. But he kind of like scowls and like looks down and he's like, so what do I tell Vito if he calls?
You simply tell Vito that I'm doing the job in which he gave me to investigate the individuals that he sent to me in the photograph.
All right, Kia. I hate it when you pull rank, but fine. Do this. I'll meet with Tony. We'll get it sorted out. And he kind of looks at you, and he pauses for a second, and he's like, I just... Be careful, all right? Those two, they seem dangerous.
Brother Butler, I won't lie to you. Those men are very dangerous. However, they have what I believe is key information that we need, not only for what we're currently working on, but for the bigger picture. Certainly you understand that I must follow this lead. I believe that it is what I've been told to do.
And I think that you like when you use that phrasing with him. Then he gets it and he's like, oh, I see. So this is like part of a bigger thing. And he nods and he says, if you've heard the word, who am I to get in the way? I'll pray for you, Kia.
Now, promise me the case will get to Tito.
He nods. He's like, I'll make sure to deliver it.
In fact, I want you to contact me the moment it's been taken care of.
He nods. Of course.
Meanwhile, the moment that I've sorted out what I need to sort, I will contact you and Vito. Be sure to relay the message.
He nods. He's like, I'll finish up here and go straight to the meeting.
And I just leave. And actually, as fast as they left, I'm already contacting. I'm already contacting Alpharius, and I'm, I'm saying that I want them to meet me at the dorm room.
Okay. All right. So, so Alpharius, you get a message, from an, like, as yet unknown number, but,
I take that back. I would want to meet in a completely neutral, like, maybe a university park.
Eric, the meeting is set. We should go there immediately.
Oh. Okay. Is she all right? I didn't mean to mistake her for Biani. You should tell her that I didn't mean to.
We can tell her together, Eric, but it's important that you understand you did not make a mistake. This is something I do not yet understand, but there's something much larger at play here than just a mere mistake. She is something very close to Biani. Too close to be real.
Okay. That seems strange. We'd better meet her.
Do you call Higgs?
I think on the way there, I definitely do.
Okay. Yeah, let's see how that goes. So, Higgs, what are you and Pi still going over all the, like, have you, where do we see you and what does that look like when we get that call?
I'm probably still in the cargo bay, and I've got like multiple Pi bots in there just reenacting scenarios that could have happened that are like the farthest from the truth possible. Like,
right.
So, there's like a Pi bot over in the corner who's got a gun that we can't see because the camera angle is like not at the proper, like all right. Just the dumbest
so
shit.
So have you slept? Or
no,
you
I think like... I stayed up all night.
Yeah. So you're just like haggard and sweaty and like obviously at the edge of your rope. Cool. Okay. And so is it just continuing like the hologram from the cameras, or do we have like, are we seeing like, you know, the kids drawing, like kids book drawings of Odin and stuff now too? Like, are you doing both of these things at once?
Or yeah. Just I've definitely got like the Norse theme in the room.
Right. Yeah. So now there's like runes mixed in with the data and cool. Okay. All right. Yeah. So maybe you get startled when the comms go off. Like you're just standing staring blankly at something and then the comms go and you kind of like jolt.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I answer. Yes. Yeah. This is Higgins.
Captain Higgins, we are currently en route to this address. I've just sent you the text, but we have encountered something exceedingly strange. There's a woman named Kia, I believe, who is a 97.6 repeating copy of Pi or Piani, excuse me. She is impossibly close, and she says she has information for us and wants to talk. It's a little bit strange for Eric and I to handle this. I need your assistance.
Did that name come up in any of Piani's writings?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and maybe you can't remember it right away. So, like, while Alpharius is talking, you're like flipping through like hologram pages looking for it, and then you find a mention of the name, Kia Tyree.
Okay, yeah, I just like, I'll see you there, and then I just like hang up. And then, is it in book form or is this all? This is all like being displayed on screens, right?
Yeah, like hollow pages basically like hovering around you, but you can like bundle them and throw them into your data pad.
Yeah. I'm just like, Pi, I need all these in my thing right now. Also, I need all of the robots right now. Five. Give me the five. Let's go. Fully equipped. Guns and everything.
Yeah, and so they start like lining up with you.
Okay. And I'm just like, we're gonna need out. And I'll be right back. I go in my room and just get outfits of mine that would like go over the pie skeletal structures so they don't stand out. And come back and just throw them over them.
A little cowboy hat on one.
Yeah,
of them.
Like a couple have a cowboy hat, the other just have like. And then since I only have so many pieces of clothing, like one of them's wearing the denim jacket.
Yeah, the denim suit.
The full denim suit.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck's going on, but we're gonna go find out. So then we just go.
So before you go, Pi says, without my advanced armature, I can't really be there. The warbots will be operating on semi-autonomous mode. They'll listen to your commands, but I won't get to see or hear anything that's happening. If it is her, or like Alfaria said, someone who's like her, can you try to bring her back? I'd like to speak to her.
Yeah, I'm taking the bots to make sure that we can get whatever this person is back to the ship and have a real conversation. Make sure they listen to whatever I say, Pi.
They will.
I mean, whatever I say, you know what I'm saying?
We've had our differences before, and there are still some unresolved things between us, Captain, but Piani is more important than those things.
Fan-fucking-tastic. I just, like, start walking out.
Okay.
I think right before naked, perhaps put on a cloak.
right before you leave, Pi says, Captain, please be careful. Don't hurt her.
I just like stop and maybe just like nod. I don't make a vocal response.
Okay.
Then I just leave.
Okay. All right.
With the bots behind me.
So who's waiting for who and what does this location look like? Are you there first, Kia, or do you let them show up?
I assume she gets there first.
Wait, yeah, she's got the initiative, so.
Because I basically leave from the chapel to the park.
Okay. So it's like just like an outdoor,
Yeah, so it's actually a park that has one of the giant statues in it, and there's also like a little concrete amphitheater, but over to the side there's sort of like a covered commons area where people eat lunch and have barbecues and shit like that.
Yeah, and I think that like if this were a TV show, anyone who was watching the last episode or the episode before that carefully would recognize this place. It's the statue that Piani was like looking for before.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. Yeah. There's lots of people around. And yeah, you're there like at a table maybe. And you're by yourself, Kia?
I am by myself.
Okay.
This is building up to be one of the hardest fuckings a YouTuber has ever taken in their life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is this Ramirez Almulium? Is that the statue?
Yeah. Okay. So you're there and how do you look? Like are you like nervous? Are you like pacing? Are you like playing with your phone?
Definitely. In fact, probably one of if like anyone actually notices, there are many times in which Piani nervously paces back and forth over and over, especially
that's her thing.
Yeah. It's like it's like if you thought that was Piani, you'd see this action and be like, holy shit. Like it's the
right.
Exact same nervous pacing back and forth.
So we see, I think, yeah, we see you from a distance first so that all it is body language. So it, like, it is that like, oh my God, it's Piani. But then like as we get closer, we realize that it's her. And and so you're there pacing. And do the three of you, like Higgs, Alfarius and Eric, do you show up together?
I think like they show up first. They show up first. Yeah.
You go first. You don't wait for Higgs. Okay.
I think it was more like a meet us here situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Stream might be down, by the way.
No, I don't know.
It's still up.
Look at the chat, guys.
Yeah, no, it's just dropping frames a little bit.
Now it's buffering.
Oh, yeah. It's just we're still local recording, though. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll just fuck everyone today.
That's fine. Good. Yeah. Good. Equal fucking.
Okay. All right. So the two of you walk up. and you see Piani or Kia or whoever she is sitting at the or standing by the table.
I say, I kind of do a like not even a super alert, typical Alpharius like scan around, but I look around real quick and I say, I appreciate you taking this meeting. It's important that you understand. I have informed our captain of this meeting. He is also extremely concerned with finding our lost crewmate. He, of course, he's about to say means you no harm.
I put my hands up for a second and I say, your captain. And maybe I give like, does he, you know, look like a scruffy man who, you know, maybe like describing some of the clothes I've seen in.
As far as I can tell on spacematch.com, he rates a solid 6.5. He's a mostly attractive man that could probably do for some physical exercise. Yes.
Then I say, continue.
I just wanted you to be aware that we will not be alone. He will be coming. He is very close to Piani. I keep saying Piani to you, and I see some recognition in your eyes and your readouts. Is it fair to say you know who I'm talking about?
I don't think it's fair to say I know who you're talking about. I think, well, perhaps it is me who needs to be asking the questions.
Fair enough.
Who are you?
I'm Eric.
That's Eric. He is a Sigridian who is a part of our crew. He is the mechanic and so much more. He's also, and he looks over at Eric, he's like, he's my best friend. And I don't have many of those. I am Alpharius. As you can tell, I'm a cyborg. I'm in charge of security for the ship. The ship is the Swan Song.
This Piani woman, she looks like me.
She looks exactly like you, except she has a synthetic eyeball, and her hair is of a different color.
It's black.
It's more of a raven, I would say. Fair?
Raven is good.
What do you know about the new prophet?
Very, very little. I'm not much of the religious type.
I prefer to study the sciences myself.
And what is your mission?
We don't have much in the way of a mission. We are a ship that is captained by Mr. Higgins, of course, who you'll meet soon. We just try to stay afloat mostly, but I think each individual has greater goals that they are trying to achieve. But from what I can tell and what I've read, most people do.
Right now, we're trying to find Piani. She went missing a few days ago.
This Piani, I know she looks like me. In fact, well, I keep on like wanting to say like I've seen her before, but I'm not ready to give up that information. Tell me, who is this Piani?
Piani is, well,
certainly
she's
information officer, she's connected to the New Prophet Christian movement.
She's a precognitive and biosciencist.
Of this, I am not sure. She predates my time on the ship, but from what I can tell and from the reactions to everyone on the ship, she is, you could say, the soul or the glue of the ship. She keeps us all together.
She swears a lot.
Her language is foul. It is that of a sailor.
So I think, like, as you're having this conversation, we see a vehicle. I guess, how did you get there?
I think I just walked down the street and found the biggest car.
Yeah.
And just took that car. I just stole a car.
It is a gravity.
Well, I mean, people don't, like, on this planet, like, there isn't a lot of, like, private vehicle ownership. Well,
car sharing.
Essentially, like a car system that moves people around. So I think at this point, yeah, like, we get a pan across, and Kia, you see this because it's on the other side. So we see a car pull up, and behind it, there's, an advertisement board. And on the board, a big white horse like rears up, And then there's like the sounds of like trumpets, and we don't get to see what the ad is for because like a truck pulls up in front of it. But as the horse like rears up and whinnies, a door, like the doors of this car open, and you see the four like robots, like armed robots, like get out. And then you see Higgs step out of the car, and he's got this like huge, like white holographic, like horse rearing up behind him. And you just like shudder as you see him. And it's like, for you, there's no question that you are like standing face to face with like the devil himself. Like there's just, like, it just chills you to your core to see this guy like step out of the car. He turns and looks at you. And
someone it's not Brumpotungus gets the credit, right?
Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, you just like, you freeze. As you see him get out of the vehicle.
That's a pretty good stopping point just to fuck mm-hmm. everyone.
Yeah, let's stop there.
Great.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
We know that Twitch dropped there for a bit. You missed, I think, like two or three lines. It wasn't that bad. You can catch in the YouTube VOD. It's only three up, or it'll be all posted by Saturday. So you're fine. Anyways, let's do some shout-outs here. Sweet, start us off.
I hope that you're enjoying this adventure.
Based MVP Wheat.
it's going to be an interesting next couple of episodes. But, hey, thanks for watching. As always, I'm excited to see what happens. And you know where to find me. I'll be back on normal streaming schedule. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get an Oculus, but God damn it, I really want to play Adrift. So other than that...
You know you don't need Oculus to play it.
I know. I'm probably going to do that anyway. There's another game coming out.
Chronos?
I cannot wait to play. No, it's like some weird... just some weird game. I forget the freaking name of it, but it's like a...
Is it a hacking game?
It's like... Fuck, I can't remember. For the name of it, I fail. No, it's not a hacking game. It's like a 2D Doom FPS base building game of awesomeness. It looks so great. I can't wait to play it. Anyway,
yeah, you should look up Dark Space. I think for the Oculus, you'd probably be into that.
Dark Space.
It's literally you buy ice to crack programs.
Oh, I did hear about this. I did.
Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty good. It's supposed to be pretty good for the Oculus. Awesome. Well, cool. Steven, do some shout outs.
Hello, everyone. I'm having a lot of fun with this current thread of Swan Song. You know all about me. I'm Silent Osiris. You can find me all the way on around the internet at Silent Osiris. The O is a zero. The most coolest thing that's going on in my life these days is that the game I've been working on for the past year, Roller Coaster Tycoon World, is releasing in early access tomorrow, so you should definitely go check that out. I've got some information on my Twitter profile. If you want to know more, you can just tweet at me. Should be pretty good. That's all for me. Also, you're killing it with Kia.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Thank you.
Jeff, some shout-outs?
Just have to echo everyone's sentiments. Strange occurrence in the chat. People thought I didn't know this was a three-hour show. I absolutely did. That's why I said you're getting fucked super hard. Me getting fucked. Yes, I got fucked too. We all got fucked. We all want to. If we could, I'm guessing all of us would play this for 8 hours. But we got bills to pay and life to do and stuff like that, so we can't. Also, in super exciting news, I want to update everyone. Team iJustine just won the Doom event, which is just so refreshing to see real plugged in people.
Wait, no, I thought she lost that. Her team lost that, and Bronx team won that, you know? You're right, you're right. Her and the Pittsburgh Steelers guy did win.
Tony Brown.
You're right.
So this just smacks of CGS era gaming quality.
You know the worst part about that, Jeff?
What?
They're 30 minutes from me. I could literally drive for 30 minutes and get to that studio.
Why drive when they can have... You know, iJustine and Antonio Brown really drag in the eyeballs to such a huge...
I mean, they have pretty good viewership. They had like 12 or 13K people, so...
Yeah, but anyways, with you, it would have been 3 million, I think. But, easily. No, I'm just teasing. Anyways, just loving the show, loving the arcs, and I just want to once again give a tip of the hat to the cool people that are getting kind of featured. Like, this is Marcus's time to shine, and Marcus, you're killing it. But also, let us not forget Adam. Adam's a fucking brilliant mastermind who actually helped create a universe where there's zombie robot Vikings and
the Bjorgs.
Honestly, if that's the result of anything that happens, I think the ends do justify the means. So, very happy clam over here. So yeah, thank you.
That's there it. You go. Last but not least, Adam, some shout outs, sir.
Thanks for coming, everybody. I also am having a great time getting to reveal all the weird little things we've been putting together. I'll echo the rest of the crew. Big ups to Wheat for playing along. It's always fun when you can, as a GM, come up with an idea and just be like, all right, how do you feel about this totally weird thing happening to you? And have a player go along with it. So thanks for that, buddy.
Of course.
Just don't worry. The pay dirt when he steals your character and sequesters
you. Yeah, that's right. When I destroy everything you like.
Right.
So you can find me on Twitter at Skinny Ghost. You can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/AdamCoble. And you will see me again two times this weekend for the West Marches and for Balance of Power. So hope you're ready for more Adam, because that's what you're going to get. I set up a Q&A thread. These are fun to do, these Q&A threads, because sometimes I can be like, cool, I'm going to share some interesting stuff with you. And other times I can just be like, yeah, I'm not good. Both really fun. So go check that thread out. And I posted links for the opening and closing credits music for the headcanon episode I've got. So go check that out, too.
There you go. Like Adam said, we got West Marches on Saturday. We've got the premiere of Balance Power, which is something that me and Adam have been working on for like 3 or 4 months. So that should be a lot of fun on Sunday. I'm looking forward to that.
That's a third of a pregnancy, guys.
Yeah. We're having a third wow. of a baby on Sunday.
One third of a baby.
As I understand it, it's roughly the same amount of pain and work as well. I think it's
pretty much. It's pretty. It's pretty much the same thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
As a man, I feel like I know that. You know what I mean? I know what that feeling.
Exactly. Exactly. I think we're all good for next Tuesday, so we'll have a show then and continue the story arc. So we'll see you guys then, and I'll do the rest of my shout outs after stream. See you guys later. Have a good night. Bye bye.
Bye, everybody.